Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and 30-year business coach. Listen in as amazing, world-changing authors, speakers, and coaches share their struggles and victories, and hear from best-selling authors' insight into how you, too, can live your life as a thriving entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur today as we talk to you about flourishing without sacrificing. What is truly important? What are the things that are non-negotiable? What are the things that aren't worth, whatever level of success you have? Success absolutely is yours. It's something you were born to, meant to have. But there are certain things that if you sacrifice what's really important, the success means absolutely nothing. And so today we want to dive really truly into that whole concept with a software tool that helps you be able to manage customer relationships, with talk about the science of flourishing, and talk about how to scale without sacrificing family. We've got three really great, amazing guests here. As we move into our 10th year, we've been now on for more than 10 years, and we're still going strong. We've got some fun technology changes that are happening, but we're still the same thriving entrepreneur, and we're going to keep on moving and growing and flourishing and thriving in all that we do so that we can continue bringing this to you and we can talk to you about important things that all boil down to how do you live as a thriving entrepreneur. And this one is maybe one of the most paramount, because flourishing without sacrificing what is truly important is something that often we don't even know or think to address. You know, we're looking at all the things that we deem to be important, all the things that are supposed to be important, but we forget the things that really truly are important. Our family, our health, our emotional and physical well-being. All of those things are far more important than any money you can put into the bank. And when you put those important things first, then you find also that everything else comes along with it. Those are the cabooses on the train, with the engine being the whole and healthy and well and powerful you that's at the front of it, leading things and learning things that are essential skills to allow you to flourish, that then allows your business to flourish, that then allows you to be a powerful, impactful part of the world, which then allows the world also to flourish. Imagine what the world would be like if everybody just took, and just for one day even, tried to just be the best version of themselves while it's called today. I can't make everybody do that, but I can most definitely show you some tips, some tricks, and some techniques on how you can flourish without sacrificing what is truly important as we talk today about how you can live as a thriving entrepreneur. And so with that said, let's jump right in to our first guest. Join me in welcoming Ashish Kothari. Hey, Ashish, how are you doing today?
I am really well, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Great to have you here with us. First off, tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
Yeah, sure. That's a beautiful question, Steve. So I live in Boulder, Colorado. I'm married. I have a 14-year-old son and an 8-month-old puppy. And, the work that how I show up in the world and the work that I'm really excited on the second mountain journey of mine is really to help people integrate the science of flourishing into how they live, how they work, how they lead, so we can create better outcomes for the planet, for each other, and just, truly operate at our fullest potential. So that's the work that I do every day. In fact, that's how I live every day. That's me.
I love it. So tell us, what is the science of flourishing?
Yeah, so look, I think we have to, by the way, Steve, I came into this just in terms of background for people. I grew up in India. I'm an engineer. I did my undergrad and master's in engineering. I got my MBA at University of Chicago, and I spent 25 years in consulting, 17 of those with McKinsey and Company, where I was a partner, leading all of their resilience, adaptability, and well-being work in the last 5 years. Okay. And I wasn't really studying flourishing or necessarily happiness, Steve, in my research that I was doing, which became the core part of the book, Hardwired for Happiness. What I was really researching was what keeps us stuck in fear and anxiety. Look, by all standards, we are more prosperous as a generation than has one that has ever lived. We're living longer, we are more connected, we are more efficient. The GDP is at all-time high, but we're not necessarily happier and more satisfied. Something is keeping us in stress, anxiety, and for me, my insight was it's actually our hardwiring for fear. So we've evolved over millions of years, our brains have evolved to keep our bodies safe, not necessarily happy. And hence, we have a huge negativity bias. We are constantly worried about things that are going to come get us. And those circuits of fight, flight, freeze are fully on fire right now. For most people, if they use their HRV monitors on their iPhones, with their, you know, whether they're using, you know, the Ring, or they're using Apple Watches, you'll notice you're at highly activated fight, flight, freeze, sympathetic nervous system control, 70-80% of the time. Unless we fundamentally rewire our brains away from that fear state, which are constantly triggered because of the complex world in which we are living in, we can't be happy. By the way, we don't have to do a lot to be happy. Our base state is happiness. The problem is the sense-making instrument through which we are experiencing the world. And that's what we have to rewire away. And that's the life work that I'm doing.
Well, I absolutely love that. So, I mean, it's obviously a much longer process than we can talk about in 10 or 15 minutes here. But what's the place to start? You know, when a person is, you know, hardwired to be just negative and see the negative and surround themselves, you know, listening to the news all day and all of those kind of things
Yes.
just make us, what is the first step we can take in really changing our wiring?
Yeah. So, Steve, first of all, the program that we've designed uses the science of habit formation. So, the best part is it can, you know, we can do this in 5 minutes or less daily. It's practice that matters, right? Another beautiful insight from neuroscience, neurons that fire together, wire together. So knowing doesn't help, doing really does. And doing, we don't have to do a lot. Very little helps. So to your question of what are some things that we can start to do, you know, the first one that I always say is it always in our model, we start with self-awareness. The first question to ask ourselves is how have we made unhappiness a habit? Because Steve, I don't know if you have young kids or not, but you know, or if you go back to your own childhood memories. When we are young, you know, somewhere below 7 or 8, children are just joyful by nature. Something needs to happen to make us unhappy and cry. We wet our diapers, we're hungry, we fell down, we got hurt. We don't need to teach a child to be mindful. You know, we are lost in our games for hours. But as adults, most of the state of people is not happy, it's busy. Or I'm anxious, or I'm just fine. We chase joy because our state of joyfulness is lost. So how do we recover it? First, by asking ourselves the question, how we made unhappiness a habit? What are things that we are doing that we have started to do that are resulting in us struggling? I'll give you a simple habit that's an unhappiness habit, Steve. 25 years ago, if you and I were standing in front of an elevator or waiting for a bus or standing in front of a Six Flags queue, would you notice everybody on their phones?
No, definitely not.
Right? Today, we get into an elevator, it's a fourth elevator ride up, fourth floor up, but everybody has their phones out. So we've made a habit of continuously keeping our brain occupied. And what are we looking at? If you're looking at Instagram, you're looking at these fake stories of perfect lives. Nobody's life is perfect. Insta stories are not perfect lives. Or we are taking in news, what's not going well. News is filled with negative things. They don't talk about positive things. So an example of how we made unhappiness a habit. So you want to start? Let's start with two simple things. Two simple things you could start that'll take less than 10 minutes. And by the way, they're not even things you do. They're things that you can just do as part of what you do every day. First, start your day with 5 mindful minutes. Look, if you have not meditated so far, I'm pretty sure you're not going to start meditating after hearing this, even though we know the science is there. So I'm going to ask you to do something else instead. Mindfulness is paying attention on the present moment with intention, without judgment. Okay? Mindfulness is paying attention on the present moment without judgment, with intention. This is the beautiful, simple definition coined by Jon Kabat-Zinn, who really brought meditation to the forefronts of medical profession. So think about five things you do in the morning. You know, I'm sure you brush, you have a shower, you make coffee, you pack for your kids. Whatever you do, think about five things you already do right now, Steve. But tomorrow, when you do them, just be present fully with what you're doing. If you brush, just be with the sensation of brushing. Be with the sensation of putting toothpaste on your toothbrush. Feel the aroma, the taste, the flavor of the toothbrush, of the, see if you notice with the left or right, we all start in different. Notice if you actually brush before your shower or after your shower. Just be present with that. And if you just do that, right, with brushing, with coffee, with having your breakfast, you're practicing mindfulness. Instead, what do we do? The first thing we do is we put our take look at our phone. So keep your phone away from your bedroom and just spend the first 5 minutes or whatever you do, do it mindfully. It's called owning your mornings. Similarly, own your nights. Last 5 minutes, Steve, last 5 minutes of your day. Take a piece of paper and write down what are three good things that happened today, three positive things that happened in your life. And I promise you, there are hundreds that happen in almost all of our lives. Things that others do, things that go our way. Just write about them. Basically, what you're doing is you're starting your day intentionally and you're ending your day focusing on positive things rather than negative things. 2 5-minute practices that can start us going. We have 30 more of these that we help people build habits around. It doesn't have to be big stuff. It can be 5-minute things that we do one at a time till they become habits. And just like that, we rewire our brains over 6 by 12 months away from fear towards happiness.
I love that. So, for the people that are meditators, do you replace that 5 minutes with 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes in the evening of meditation, or are those 5 minutes in addition to that, or how, for the
Yeah,
people
it's
that are
a
maybe a
great
little more
question.
advanced?
Great question. So look, for those who are advanced, ideally we should be meditating 30, 45 minutes a day, okay? Morning and evening. The idea behind this work is to just start by planting seeds. So Steve, for those who already meditate, they might actually start by, at the end of the meditation, set doing an intention practice. So what do I mean by that? In intention practice, at the end of your meditation, take 5 minutes. We have a little sunflower model that we actually put. Choose how you want to meet the day today. You are not going to have any control on what comes into your day. None of us do. But you know what you control? How you meet it. Do you want to meet it with, what's your intention for how you want to be today? Do you want to be grateful? Do you want to be curious? Do you want to be kind? Do you want to be purposeful? Do you want to be present? There's a whole range of these more positive states of being that we can set an intention. So maybe for those who already meditate, start with that. If you already meditate in the night, if one positive thing, if you do it, that's great. If you're not, you can also start with, before you go to bed, taking 5 minutes to read something inspiring. It could be something philosophical, it could be something spiritual. Ideally, it's paper because we know how bad devices are. And once we get on one, other things catch us and we stick there. So those are examples of things, Steve, even if you meditate, are things that you can start to do already that'll make a positive difference.
Oh, I absolutely love that. So then, of course, the beyond that is working with you. How can people work with you?
Yeah, so look, so we have a, you know, there's a couple of different ways. Number one, you know, we for individuals, they can go to www.happinesssquad.com and we have a rewire program that either they can run as a self-led program or they can actually do a cohort-based learning. So they can sign up for that or reach out to us and we'll get them enrolled in a cohort. Second, we are actually doing this work, Steve, with companies. So large companies, we are actually doing this with intact teams, you know, because teams provide one additional element, Steve, of this work. And I failed to mention that, right? So, you know, when I realized that it's habits that are making us unhappy, and hence habits can help us be happier, we did three things, Steve. Number one, I looked at the science and I said, okay, let's make them small, right? That's why they're 5 minutes. The second thing we did was we said, let's make them about what you do at work, because there's an element in habit formation called anchoring. If I anchor a new habit that I'm trying to build to something I already do, higher chances I do it. So we made them all about changing work. So many of them are tied to you already do something, you're going to do something differently. And then the third is we said, you know what? If I commit to you, Steve, that, you know, if I commit to myself, I'm going to go for a walk every day, you know, maybe I'll do it, maybe I don't. If I commit to you, higher chances I'll do it. But if you and I say, hey, let's meet once a week and walk together, now I significantly increase my odds of me sticking to the behavior. So teams are really powerful. So if this is interesting to you, reach out to us because we're doing this work with intact teams, with companies. And you get a chance to do that as well. And collectively, you can give each other the accountability, the inspiration, and support that you need to change your life for good. Because, friends, we are never going to be more prosperous than we are right now. It's time we take control of our happiness.
I love that. So, do give us the URL again where a person can connect with you.
Yeah, it's www.happiness, HAPPINESS. Squad, SQUAD.com.
I love that. Well, Ashish, thanks you so much for spending some time with us here on the show today.
It is my pleasure, Steve. Thank you. I really, really appreciate you having us, and thank you for helping us spread the word around the work that we're doing.
There is a science to it. There is a process to what it takes to truly be able to flourish in your life. And if you don't do those things, nobody else is going to do them for you. Nobody else can do them for you. As much as there are some things that we shouldn't be doing and we should outsource or that AI can do for us, when it comes to flourishing in our own personal lives, there is nothing that can be done for us. It's things that we need to do for ourselves. And with that, not sacrifice the things that are truly important in our life. And that then becomes the very true secret on how you can live as a thriving entrepreneur. With that said, let's jump into our first commercial break here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Don't go away. Hi, my name is Steve Kidd. I am a third generation minister, an international best-selling author of multiple books, and I help people write, publish, and market their books to bestseller. In fact, there are literally thousands of people that have used the system that I created to be able to write, publish, and market their books, and now they're best-selling authors, and you're next. I just wanted to come on for a minute, say hi to you, tell you a little bit about me, introduce myself, and tell you I know the world is waiting on your message, and I would be so honored to be part of sharing your message with the world. Go to AskSteveKidd.com and schedule a time to talk today. Steve, welcome back. Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today as we talk to you about flourishing without sacrificing what is truly important. I want you to live and love and flourish and thrive in all that you do. And these are some tips and things that you can use. Next, let's look at a software platform that can allow you to make better connections with your staff, but also allow your staff to make better connections with your clients and customers, and let them also flourish, and let them know how truly important they are to you as we all work together to be thriving entrepreneurs. So with that said, let's jump in to our next guest here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Join me in welcoming Mike Lodge. Hey, Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Thank you for asking.
First off, tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
A little bit about me. I have a pretty technical background, and then ended up with a sales position that took me from thinking that sales was like a bad word. My father was an engineer; both grandfathers were engineers. I started my career as a physicist for a defense contractor, and I got really lucky, and then I worked for this company. And had a great sales manager and taught it as a process, and went from thinking sales was a bad word and the world doesn't need sales and marketing to realizing that if it's done well, sales, that is, it's a good experience for everybody. And you're just kind of helping people make decisions. And that job led me on a totally different trajectory where I ended up using my technical background, building software to help other salespeople, help people make decisions and in a scalable way and all that kind of good stuff. So that's a little bit about background a little bit further ago. And then I started my first company about 10 years ago. It was a software company, and then that got bought by a large residential solar company, and then that got bought by a big company, and then I thought about retiring, and then decided to start another software company, and here I am, CEO of another tech company and writing a book. It's almost out.
Love it. So tell us what your new company does.
So the new company is called Patter AI, as in pitter patter of little feet, or patter, like sales patter, little sound going along. And Patter AI exists to help large strategic sales teams have better interactions with their end customers when they're actually with them. So we have a very, very powerful and configurable platform that we configure for a particular client, so that large sales team, 50 reps, 500 reps, 5,000 reps sort of thing, when they're sitting with their customers, they have like one kind of magic pitch book, if you will, that kind of really helps them deliver a high quality message, helps make sure that the end customer understands what's being told to them, and understands if they, as they make decisions and choose options along the way of something complicated, like a residential solar system or a pool in your backyard or software for your bottling manufacturing plant or something like that. It just makes it so that a large sales team can do a very consistent and high quality job of delivering information and helping people make decisions they'll be happy with. And then we're leveraging generative AI capabilities in terms of like transcribing those interactions if the client and customer wants it. And then you can actually give feedback right away without a sales manager having to review everything, similar to like a sales ride along. You can give a lot of that same feedback with generative AI based tools now. It's pretty neat.
I love that. That takes the whole concept of being a sales manager to a whole different level. Oh, how fun. Yeah. All right. So give us some examples for people who aren't familiar, just some of the basic things that people use your software for every day.
So our clients, we're actually going live with our first client now. And we have some other larger clients in the pipeline. And they use the software so we take the platform we've built, and then we, through an iterative process working with the client, configure it so that the client's sales team has like one comprehensive like iPad experience or laptop experience where everything that that salesperson needs to walk a customer through a purchasing decision is there. So I'll just make something up. So if if you're buying a pool, right, for your backyard, you might, well, hey, you can have it deep, you can have it shallow, you can have these materials and those materials. There's all kinds of different options, and let's help you figure out what you want. So you might be showing different images, and if they choose, a certain depth, then they have to fence automatically has to go around. I'm making things up. I'm not a backyard pool expert, but I can imagine the process. And then eventually you might want to get you might well how you know hey how are you going to pay for this? Well, we'd like, do you have any financing? Sure, let me tell you about our financing. And then you'd need to facilitate that, and so you'd need to integrate with banks and show the right the you know a credit check sort of process, just anything that you would need to like make it so it was very easy for the end consumer to make decisions and get to either yes, great, this is what I would like, and those are the options I would like. Thank you, I understand, or I understand what you do, I understand the options, and that's not what I would like, and so we aren't a good fit. So a good salesperson and then a good sales process helps the customer make a decision that they'll be happy with if they either purchase or don't purchase, right? So I have a pretty opinionated outlook on what good sales and a good sales process is like. You're not just trying to get somebody to make a sale. You're trying to help somebody make a decision that they're going to be happy with, whether they choose to purchase or not. And then that's the book that we're writing has a lot to do with that. And then if you're a particular big team, how technology can scale up those sorts of sales processes and stuff like that.
I love that. I mean, we've come so far since the day when the first laptops started making their way into people's houses, and well, let's just say there wasn't a whole lot they could do. But all right.
Yes, yeah, there's if the people creating the tech for the salespeople are very careful and try to be very empathetic and conscientious of what it's really like to sit in front of a consumer, you can really help the average sales rep. Because you can make it so that the technology helps the sales a middle tier rep give a similar experience to like a veteran or a top tier rep, just in how clearly you can explain things, how clearly you can explain the implications of a decision and stuff like that. So it's pretty neat if you use technology for good instead of bad, something like that.
Absolutely, I love that. So, what are we looking at time frame wise from when a company and decides they want to work with you until their custom version of their software for their computers is ready to go?
It's typically, weeks to months sort of thing from the time they want, somebody decides they want to move forward. So there's a process where we learn about the client and we understand the systems that they're currently using and what will need to be integrated with to provide that high quality in-person experience, kind of that I alluded to or that I talked a little bit about earlier. And then you go through an initial configuration of the platform for them, and then it's iterative from there. And it's pretty neat too. Once folks start to understand just how helpful sales enablement really can be, it's hard for people that haven't lived through it to really understand how much technology can actually help in that kind of situation. Once enough, a critical mass of people at that enterprise start to understand this new capability, it's pretty neat. You start seeing higher levels of expectations. Like you start being like, oh, if our 1,000 salespeople could say this differently, this problem downstream wouldn't happen, right? So how can we get that to happen? Oh, well, we'll make it easier for them to bring that up. Or anyways, it's pretty neat. Like you can, if you do the tech right, you can really enable all sorts of downstream processes for that business in like a super scalable, effective, and ethical way. Because you'd be like, hey, what's a really good way to explain this? Or what's a really good way to say this to a customer? What's a really good way to answer this question? And then all of a sudden you can make it so that the vast majority of the salespeople or answering it that way in that high quality fashion rather than just like the top reps that have a natural gift.
That is so amazing. I just think of all the sales teams that I've trained and how useful that could be. So I'm assuming then that, the generative AI can come in and can say to the person, well, give the feedback to the management staff. Across the board, we have people that are saying this, and this is kind of where our sales process is breaking down. Is that one of the things that it does for you?
Yeah, that's right. So, as Steve is a as somebody who's managed sales teams, I mean, I'm talking about you. Not, I mean, I've managed sales folks, but you probably remember and are familiar with how the care that only sales people and sales leaders understand needs to be taken when you introduce change or quote unquote helpful tools to a sales team. And generative AI is no different. So, there's lots of straightforward ways for like our clients to leverage the capability. Generative AI does such a great job of, like you said, taking the conversation. Not once there's transcriptions, creating all kinds of like, hey, these are the seven tasks you should probably do or follow up with this particular client. There's also constructive compliance or positive compliance, like, hey, are all the sale, we came up with a new referral program and we rolled it out on Tuesday. All the appointments that happened Tuesday afternoon and Tuesday night, were they compliant with what we wanted to have happen? Now, what you do with that information, obviously, it is where you can make an initiative like that successful or not successful, right? If you immediately give a message back to an individual rep, like, hey, you didn't do anything right, then it feels like Big Brother and doesn't really feel like they're helping anything. But if you like, look, this great referral program, it's great for your end customers. It's also going to help you increase the percentage of your own business that are referrals, which means that there's going to be a better fit for the customers on average that you meet with, which means it's going to be shorter sales cycles. If they do purchase, if they're, they're going to be probably happier customers. You're going to make more money. The customers will be happier. And so once you deliver that message, then you have to then carefully leverage generative AI to make sure it's pretty constructive and what happens to the reps. And then once everybody gets used to the fact that it's actually helping, then you can start, not involving people as much in leveraging generative AI to improve the performance in these areas. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally was with you. So tell us, where would a person go to be able to speak directly with somebody from your company and find out if Patter AI is a fit for them?
They could send an email to sales at salespatter.io. That our URL is salespatter.io. Currently, we're still in the founder-led sales phase. So I was a relatively successful exec in the residential solar industry in the U.S. So I have a lot of I drove a lot of revenue and growth at a company that sold, for around $1 billion a couple of years ago, and that company grew pretty quickly. And that company would not have been able to grow nearly as quickly as it did if it would have continued with like off-the-shelf sales enablement. Instead, that company hired me and my old company and my old team. And so, because of that success, a lot of people are aware of it, so we're able to like work with our first clients or quite a few clients just because they're other like decent sized companies and they're aware of what we did before. And but so anyway, so sorry, I'm very talkative. So right now you actually talk with founders, right? It's not like that never forever in a tech company's journey, but for now you'd actually be working with founders if you're interested in finding out if Patter AI is a and you would be a good fit, sort of thing.
I love it. So salespatter.io is the URL.
Yes, sir.
Perfect. Well, Mike, thanks so much for spending some time with us here on the show today.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. I appreciate your time, and it was very nice to be here.
Sales teams are so powerful, but they're only as powerful as they follow up. The fortune, as they say, is in the follow up, and you need systems in place. You need processes in place, and then the people need to follow them. I'm always telling people when I'm sales training them, I can give you all the best tips and tricks, all the best software in the world, all of those things. But at the end of the day, the one thing that I can't do for you is I can't be committed for you. You need to put in the effort and the work. This is a great platform to help you interact with your clients. And if you use them, your salespeople can be powerfully effective in what they do. And then you can flourish without sacrificing what's truly important and live as a thriving entrepreneur. With that said, let's take our next commercial break here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Hi, my name is Steve Kidd. I am a third generation minister, an international best-selling author of multiple books, and I help people write, publish, and market their books to bestseller. In fact, there are literally thousands of people that have used the system that I created to be able to write, publish, and market their books, and now they're best-selling authors, and you're next. I just wanted to come on for a minute, say hi to you, tell you a little bit about me, introduce myself, and tell you, I know the world is waiting on your message, and I would be so honored to be part of sharing your message with the world. Go to AskSteveKidd.com and schedule a time to talk today. This is Steve. Welcome back. Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today as we talk about flourishing without sacrificing what is truly important. We've looked at the science of flourishing. We looked at a software product that can help your sales team flourish and allow your clients and customers to really know how much you care about them. Because, you know, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And now we want to look at scaling your business, but we want to also look at that very important element of it about not sacrificing the things that are truly important. Because at the end of the day, if you sacrifice what's important and you don't then have a family, don't have a life, don't have your health, none of it matters. And then you won't be able to live and love and thrive. So let's look at it as we jump deeper into the concept of flourishing without sacrificing what is truly important here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Join me in welcoming Jeff Koch. Hey, Jeff, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing really good, thanks. Start us off by telling us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
I'm a currently own a business coaching business owners, but I come from a past of owning multiple service companies and parts companies. I've owned them for multiple years. I sold a few of them a couple of years ago and, really love growing business. And now my goal is to help other people grow their businesses and learn to scale without sacrificing all your family time.
Oh, I love that because family time is almost always the very first thing that dies when a person starts their business. So what's the secret? How do you hold on and keep that family time as sacred when, you know, the business wants to take over 24 hours, 7 days a week of your life?
Yeah. You know, so what I've found is I generally work with business owners that are kind of at the $1 million in gross revenue now. What I found is when you first start, it is grinding. Like you do have to put in the time. You're going to have to make some sacrifices, but over time you need to start working smarter, not harder. And you've got to start implementing processes. And what I find a lot of business owners have done is they through brute force, they've built a business and they've done it, but there's no scalability and there's no business without them being there every day. And when you build a business that way, you're it's like a ball and chain. So it's kind of understanding technology, using technology to your benefit and building processes and systems so that you are not the face of everything in the business.
So how much of that also has to do with just not being willing to let go because nobody can do it quite as well as you can?
So you got to come to a point when you realize, and there was a point in my business life that, I thought I was just the genius. I was the magic sauce that made everything happen. And, somebody sat me down and explained, hey, you're pretty good, but you're not the magic sauce. There's a whole team around you that's doing all this stuff. You're just standing in front of everybody. And you kind of got to, swallow your pride a little bit and realize there are people out there that are great at all kinds of things. You've got to give them the chance to shine and invest in those people, invest in their futures and help teach them. It's easier to teach a team than try to do it all yourself.
That is so true. So what do we do about the fact that, some people come in and they're just, they're top tier people and they already know what they're doing, but other people that we bring into our business, they're going to need to be trained. They're going to make a good employee if you teach them right. But, what do we do in that interim when, we are going to lose a little bit in productivity to trade it for training somebody to make things better long-term?
Yeah. So it's key that when you're growing the business, sometimes it's just easier to just do it yourself, but you've got to take a step back and realize you're not helping the business in the future. Make the sacrifice today, create a process and train the employees how to do it the correct way. And then it'll scale from there going forward. I found sometimes business owners will blame employees. And the reality is employees don't want to do a bad job. 90% of the time, they've not gotten the training to actually do the job correctly.
And of course, that then falls back on you, the owner, who didn't train them correctly to begin with. So how do we put in place processes? Because, especially when you make that transition from doing it yourself to having somebody else do it, a lot of it is inherent. It's often all up in your brain. So how do you move it from out of your head and onto something that's actually a system and a process?
So I think the easiest way to start doing it, and once you start, it becomes a little easier over time, is record yourself doing it. So just as an example, let's just say you're going to do an automated, batch billing in QuickBooks, and you know how to do it. You just get in there, click, and you do it all the time. Well, record your screen and talk it out as you're doing it. And just by doing that, you've now created an SOP for somebody else to follow. It's a video. It's easy for somebody to use as an employee for training. Like, that's the easiest way I found, is just really start recording yourself doing them and it'll start to make sense.
I love that. So how do we know when we need another person to be running something versus doing it ourselves, or even having, one of our employees is doing it, but now you need to bring on the next one?
So what I look at when I'm doing different tasks is, in the business, am I the only person that can do this task? Is this task so creative, or it's so important that only I can do it? If it doesn't fit that top tier, it can be done by an employee. And a lot of times it can be done by an employee probably faster than you're doing it. You just don't realize it, because kind of back to that pride, you think that you're the best at doing it. In my business, in the past and even currently, I started doing some of the marketing, and it takes me a week to create marketing campaigns. And I have a marketing person that literally does them in 30 minutes. And I thought my stuff was great. So it's kind of that, let the team do it, and only focus on, especially as the owner, and things that you are the only person that can do.
I love that. What do you think about the old saying? And I'm not even sure what I think about it anymore these days, but I heard said a lot for a while, don't bring on another employee until you don't care where they sit. What do you think about that phrase?
No, you know, I think that it is hard as a business owner when, especially as a small business owner, when you bring on an employee, it's part of it becomes part of your family. It's a big financial burden to bring on an employee, so you really want to know where they're going to be at and what they're going to do. Also, I think that when you bring on an employee, to be fair to that person, they're making a commitment to you. You should have a well-defined role and responsibilities that you want them doing. So if you sit down and realize in the business that okay, every day there's 20 or 30 tasks a day that I'm doing that I may be okay at getting them done, but I'm not the best person to do them, and other people could do them for me. That's when it's time to bring on an employee, but bring them on to handle those tasks, not just kind of bring them on and then let things work themselves out.
I like that a lot better. So, what is the one thing that when people start working with you, you wish they knew that they almost never do?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because I feel like my answer is probably not the best. And my answer would be, you know, I wish that they would just know more of what we're doing, but obviously they can't if they're new. So I think what I would probably wish people would do in the beginning is actually be a little more confident in themselves and rely on technology to actually help.
Are there some things as business owners that we can do to help and encourage that person rather than making them feel nervous and critiqued in those early days?
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge as a business owner. You got to understand with employees, especially when they're first coming on, they're going to be a little bit intimidated. They may not know quite where they fit. I think it's really important to have one-on-one time with them, you know, even if it's weekly, an hour one-on-one, open floor, tell me what you're seeing, what do you need from me, what can I help you with? Give them a voice. And then also, you know, when they bring things up, don't dismiss them. Even and I struggle with this myself. Somebody will say something in business and I'll just kind of dismiss it because I've already went past that. But if you dismiss it, you're kind of encouraging the habit that you're not going to listen to them. So let them go through the process of what they're trying to share with you, and don't be so fast to dismiss things, because they may bring some other things to light when they start discussing it. And you may have just already shut it down and moved on. So I think giving people a voice and giving them a safe space to bring up their concerns.
I love that. I think there's a lot of power in allowing a person to have a sense of ownership for what they're doing so that they really feel like it's theirs versus something that they're just holding on to for a while. So let's talk more specifically about working with you. So what kind of people you mentioned certain level of business, but what kind of people do you prefer working with?
So today, you know, my main focus is taking business owners that are at that, and I use the $1 million mark really because at that point in a business, you won't be able to grow anymore through brute force and working more hours. You know, with and I generally do a lot of service business stuff, plumbers, electricians. Through brute force, you can get to $1 million in sales. It's hard, but you can grind, you can put in the hours, you can make it happen. You can have 10 employees, you can do it. But most of the time there is absolutely zero process, and they're achieving it, and but they're not actually going to scale from there. They're going to get stuck at that point. And the $1 million mark, and I think it's something that we're just taught at a young age, like people think that that means you're rich. Like that's everybody's ambition, is to have $1 million. They think that that's the number. And so I think with small business owners, once they get to that number, they feel like they've made it and their problems are going to go away, and they're in for a rude awakening, because really your problems just got way bigger. You just started adding zeros to the end. And unless you create process and build out what you're going to do, that's when you're going to struggle. So what I try to teach them is, you know, focus. If you've grown your business in all these different sectors, okay, what are the top five revenue generating sectors? Like, let's focus on those and not worry about other things. There comes a time in business too where you may actually fire clients, and you know that's stuff that people don't always think about. But that's kind of what I want to focus on, is taking that person who's already a hard worker but needs to start getting time back with their family, needs to develop a process and really kind of start removing themselves from the hard work and start doing the smart work in the business.
Oh, I love that. So tell us what the process is of working with you.
So generally what I like to do is I start out with like with a discovery call, and anybody can book one. It's free to book it. And we kind of go through what your challenges are. We find in business, sometimes the challenge is, you know, how do I scale? Sometimes it's, you know, how do I just get back time? How do I get back time with my family? You know, I've created this monster of a business, but I can't even sleep at night. So we help with, you know, time blocking, how to manage your schedule, you know, how to scale, but scale controllably. So you don't put yourself out of business. I've seen businesses that scale so fast that they run out of money, even though they've got so much money coming in. So it's, you know, how do we do that? How do we build a legacy? If you're going to take that business, and I ask everybody in the beginning, what's the end goal? You know, when we first meet, what's your goal? Is your goal to just grow this to a $10 million business and you're going to pass it to your kids and it's going to go on forever? Is it, you're going to get to a certain dollar amount and then sell it? But there has to be an end goal. And I find a lot of people, they don't have an end goal in mind. They're just, their goal is to keep making money, and they don't know what they're going to do.
So true. And then before we finalize things, talk just a little bit about, you know, you've gone through that, as you call it, brute force process and built a business. And sometimes there's some things that need to be dealt with, maybe even healed a little bit with the family through that process. How do you do those kind of things so that you really can spend the time that you want to spend with your family?
So I'm going to share a little bit about what I personally do. And in my journey through business, I've also hired many coaches. Even today, I'm in a mastermind accountability group. So I think it's extremely important that you have goals. And when I create my goals, part of them are family. They're personal goals. You've got to remember, if you have a business goal, you got to have personal goals too. And just to share, you know, one of my goals this year is to be a better, more loving and caring husband and father to my daughter. So with those goals, I create habits to go with them. And this is what I try to teach people, is part of it is business, but part of it is family. So for me, my goals this year is I try to have lunch at least 3 days a week with my wife. I try to do one outdoor activity every week with my wife. And then I try to do one unique or special thing once a week with my wife. And this year, I also record that. I write that down with the goal at the end of the year, I'm going to give my wife a book of all the things that we did together. That's personal, but I also do the same thing with business. You know, I'm going to create goals of, hey, this year I want this sector to hit $5.2 million. To do that, here are the supporting habits. So that's what I teach people, is creating those goals and the habits to support them, but also making sure that family is part of that commitment.
That's amazing. So for a person who does want to book that discovery call with you, where would they go and how do they do that?
Right now, the best way to do it is go to my website. It's jeffreygcoke.com. So it's JeffreyGCoke.com. And there's a link on there to book a free discovery call. And, you know, I'd love to meet up with anybody, at least start talking about it or share some process on goals and try to help anybody out.
And give us that URL one more time.
Yeah, it's jeffreygcoke.com. So it's JeffreyGCoke.com.
I love it. Well, Jeffrey, thanks so much for spending some time with us here on the show today.
Hey, thank you very much for having me on, Steve.
Your family is so important. The extended family, your children, your spouse, your significant other, all the people in your life, make sure they know how special and how important to you they are. Let them know it every day. Live and love and pour yourself into them, because without that, you'll never really truly thrive. You'll never know what it's like to be a thriving entrepreneur if you do not invest in the things that are truly important. And yes, you're part of that too. You need your health. You need to be able to be the person, the best version of yourself today, so that you can then show up and do the things that only you can do. Because you are uniquely brilliant. You were created for a purpose. And the world does need you. Absolutely we do. We want to have you around. We need to have you around. We know how amazingly important and special you are. And we want to make sure that you flourish, but not sacrifice the things that are the most important in your life, including yourself. So please do that for us. We want to see you do that so that you can live as a thriving entrepreneur. You know, we've been here now with you for 10 years. That's right. Way back 10 years ago, Thriving Entrepreneur started. I was the first ever male radio host on eWomen Network Radio. And we did that for a year, and then we went into full syndication, and we're doing some different technology changes for the format of our thing, but we're still just the same thriving entrepreneur that we've been from the very beginning. Steve interviewing people, getting to know them, sharing their amazingness with you, and dropping in some tips and tricks in between there to help you live and love and thrive. And I hope that you've loved it, that it's encouraged you, that you've grown as you've listened, and that you'll continue on with us throughout the course of the next decade as we continue to do the things that we're meant to do. Because at the end of the day, here's the thing. Nobody can ever be you. There will be people that will come in and do things similar as you. There is always that voice, if you will, out in the universe that is sharing brilliance and make sure that certain things that need to be shared get shared. But at the end of the day, there's somebody right now that is on Google. They're searching for that thing that's so easy for you that you probably haven't even thought about sharing it with the world. And I encourage you, share your voice, speak out, write it down, write a book. Absolutely, you know I do that with people. Because we are destined in this time for so much better. Amazingly cool things are getting ready to happen here in the world. Things like the world has never seen before. I see them. I feel them coming. My spirit knows that there are some amazing things that are in store for all of us. For those of us that are committed to making a difference in this world, to being the best version of ourselves that we can be while it's called today. That's right. Just be the best you that you can be today. Let tomorrow worry about and take care of itself. It'll come all too quickly anyway. And live as a thriving entrepreneur. And on behalf of the whole of the world, thank you for doing it. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for living every day of your life as a thriving entrepreneur. Until we're together again next time, have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
Hi, my name is Steve Kidd. I am a third-generation minister, an international best-selling author of multiple books, and I help people write, publish, and market their books to bestseller. In fact, there are literally thousands of people that have used the system that I created to be able to write, publish, and market their books, and now they're best-selling authors, and you're next. I just wanted to come on for a minute, say hi to you, tell you a little bit about me, introduce myself, and tell you, I know the world is waiting on your message, and I would be so honored to be part of sharing your message with the world.
Go to AskSteveKidd.com and schedule a time to talk today.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
All right, we're all set for the party. I've trimmed the tree, hung the mistletoe, and paired all those weird-shaped knives and forks with the appropriate cheeses. And I plugged in the Bartesian.
Bartesian?
It's a home cocktail maker that makes over 60 premium cocktails, plus a whole lot of seasonal favorites, too. I just got it for 50 off. So, how about a Clazmopolitan or a mistletoe margarita?
I'm thirsty.
Watch. I just pop in a capsule, choose my strength, and...
Wow, it's beginning to feel more seasonal in here already.
If your holiday party doesn't have a bartender, then you become the bartender. Unless you've got a Bartesian, because Bartesian crafts every cocktail perfectly in as little as 30 seconds. And I just got it for $50 off.
'Tis the season to be jollier.
Add some holiday flavor to every celebration with the sleek, sophisticated home cocktail maker, Bartesian. Get $50 off any cocktail maker at bartesian.com/cocktail. That's BARTESIAN.com/cocktail.